Hallelujah. How you guys in summer going? Everybody going okay?
Fast.
Well, thank you. Fast?
Yeah.
Going fast?
Yeah.
Telling you what, now, summer is, it seems to be that there's always, Joey must be preaching.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
It's okay, we'll fix it.
It's like when you get in the car, you're supposed to adjust it back.
So summer seems to be going fast. It does go fast. And how many of you know that when summer's here, there's always lots to do? Man, I'm telling you. You know, we've had people come over and visit, and they want to hang out with us and stuff. And I think that's great. That's awesome. But I'd sure like to get some projects done. You know, it's like, I don't have time for projects. I guess I can do them in the rain. It's okay. People are more important than projects, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? You know, when we get to heaven, we will have projects. God's already done that for us. Isn't that cool? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is a carpenter, so you know it's going to be awesome. Don't have to worry about the projects. It's all good. I'm looking forward to that. We can get caught up in this system of things and get caught up in all the things that are going on in this world and in this system and find out that in the end, it wasn't as important as we thought it was. So I know there's a lot going on, you guys, and I know there's a lot of things in your life that come your way and you have to deal with those things. I get that. I understand that. And man, there's, like Joey said, there's sicknesses, there's financial situations, there's a myriad of things that can happen. And so know this, that God is with you through everything you're going through. Everything you're going through, He's right there by your side. And He is not caught by surprise by these things, even though you think, God, where are you? He is right there. And usually what happens to the circumstances of life is we learn most of the most important things of life through those times. You know, how we trust God, how we go through them, what we do with them, how we respond to them. And so if we do well, you know, we are blessed and we go on and we learn something from the things that are happening to us. If not, then we get to do it again. All I can say is, God, please help me learn it the first time. I don't want to go around the mountain again. So we have all these things coming our way. The week before last in 2 Peter, we talked about, it was Father's Day, and we talked about the qualities of a loving father. And we brought that back to Jesus and God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, and His qualities that He's fed us and that we learn from, and then our generations from there goes down, and the things that we can do to pass on the qualities of a loving father. And if you were here, it was a really good time to reflect on our lives as husbands, as fathers, as men, that God called us to be leaders. Went through that. It was very, very good. Those of you here remember that. And then I was gone. We went up fishing last weekend, so the guys got together, and of course you heard about our little flight problem in Denver. And listen, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a country boy. I don't like airports, and I don't like to stay there any longer than I have to, but God was trying to teach me something. You know, as I was stopped there, you know, with nothing to do but to pray and to ask God, please get me out of this place. You know how you remember when, I don't know if any of you guys did this, but when I was in school, and I was in grade school, I remember the teacher catching me looking out the window, thinking to myself, and I'm like daydreaming, oh, what I could do if I was just out there. You know, get me out of this room. That's how I was feeling in that airport. I was like a little kid sitting there going, God, please let me outside. So God did deliver us. We got a flight home. It's interesting how that all worked. And we all, you know, there's always a reason for everything. I'm still trying to figure that one out. God will show me someday, maybe. And maybe it was just patience that, you know what, I wanted to get home to go fishing really, really bad. And God says, no, I'm going to let you sit in an airport instead. Guess you got to be good with that. The guys had fun without me. Bummer. I mean, good for them, bad for me. So, anyway, when I got there, it was really good because I was really, really tired, and I was really glad to be there. And the guys got up to go fishing, and all they could see was my tent going. They said, "Yeah, I can hear you clear over here. You must have been tired." I said, "Was." So I slept very good out there. I wished I had a couple more days, but we didn't. So I was gone. So Joey talked about stop and look. Are we going in circles? How many of you guys were here? I wasn't. Was it good? Are we going in circles? I don't know. I find myself sometimes looking at that picture and saying, I've been here before. And so we got to take a look at it sometimes and find out why. Today we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 2. The Lord knows how to rescue us from temptation. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray this morning that each one of us, that God, we would have our hearts and minds open, that we wouldn't be distracted by anything, Lord God, that we would grab a hold of what Peter is going to explain to us today. And it's a very difficult word for us. And knowing that we are your people, and God, there's many things that happen. And what you say you will do, you will do. Whether we want to be part of that or not, God, you're going to complete what you started. And Lord, I ask, God, that we would be men and women here, God, that would say yes to you, God, and that we would grab a hold of your word, and we would plant it deep in our heart and our soul and our minds. And God, that our reaction and actions to the things that you've called us to do, Lord, would be responsive. And we respond to your word, Lord God. And I pray that for everyone in this room, the sound of my voice, God, that today, that their day, this day would be a very responsive day for them and their hearts and their souls before you. So I love you. Thank you for your word. Let it penetrate our hearts today in Jesus' name. So we're going to kick it off in verse 1, chapter 2. But I want to back up two verses. If you can do that, back up to chapter 1, verse 20, because I want to kind of pick it up and keep it in perspective here, because Peter's talking and he's kind of going from one place to another, but he kind of starts off the end of this chapter. So verse 20 of chapter 1 says, "But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but man moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." So capture that. Capture this word of God here that we're reading today was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter was the one who penned this, right, and gave the message, but you have to understand that this came from God, the Holy Spirit of God, and he gave it to a man to remind us, to get us to understand what he's trying to capture our minds to see that what we live in and what we should understand as we live our life from birth to death. So Peter's putting it in perspective here. Now, this prophecy was God-breathed, and now he's saying, okay, now you have to understand that if you're not in this word and you do not read it for what it says, you can be swayed by false prophecy, by a falsehood of somebody coming in and saying something else that would take you away from the truth of the word. And he was warning people in the church, because he's speaking to believers. And he's warning people, don't do that. Be careful to come and listen. If you guys just come here and listen to Dave, listen, it is not enough. You need to be in the Bible for yourself. You need to feed yourself. If you're not in the Word, you're not reading this, checking this, reading it before I even speak to you, and then read it after I speak to you to check to see if Dave's reading it himself. And if the Word is true. He says, test these things to see if they are so. Otherwise, we can be duped. Right? The enemy is really good at lies. He's the liar of liars. And he knows what he's doing. And if he can deceive you, the Bible says, in the last days, even the elect could be deceived if it was possible. Right? So we have to understand he's tricky. And if we don't read this and understand it, we can be deceived. So he's saying there's going to be false prophets. And there was false prophets then, and there's false prophets now. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved from by the Holy Spirit to speak from God. So now we'll kick it off in verse 1 of chapter 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. If you have heard the message of the Holy Spirit, if you've heard the message of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and most of you in here, I pray, have done so, that you've heard that message and you've responded with a yes, Lord, I am yours. I understand your sacrifice on the cross was for me, and so I want to give up my life for your life. I want to live a life according to your word, and I realize that you died for my sins. And I'm not going to continue sinning to hang you back up on that cross again. I'm not going to do that because of what you did for me. I see that no longer I live, but it's you that lives in me now, and I have to live a life according to your will. So you guys understand that as believers, that's what you're saying. When you accept Christ, you're saying, no longer am I in control here now. Right? You are God. You are, because you died. You paid the price for me. Right? So I'm going to live now according to your will, whatever that means. So Jesus is reminding us, or Peter's reminding us of the sacrifice here. So basically, there's going to be destruction. Okay, now I know there's lots of people that say, what kind of a loving God would throw people into hell? Right? Now you've heard that. I've heard people say that. Well, if God's so loving and he cares for mankind, why would he throw them into a burning pit of hell for eternity? Why would he do that? Does God do that? No, he's actually trying to save us from that. Right? That's what he's trying to do. The thing is, we're already done, doomed. Right? Mankind is already doomed. By God's grace and mercy, he's saying, look, don't be part of that. If you trust me, I will bring you out of that. I'll save you. But you have to trust me. So God isn't throwing mankind in there. He's trying to save mankind from going there. Because you're going to follow... There's two ways to go. Either you're going to follow Christ and what he did, or not. And everything that's not, listen, that's not a good place to be. And there's many ways to hell. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, there's no other way to the Father except through me, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Should I say it again? Jesus. If we do not get that picture, we can be pulled away from the truth simply by saying, oh, there's many ways to heaven. No, 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 there is not. There's only one. And God made it so, so simple. Why are people having such a stinking hard time with that? You know why? Because they want to do it their own way, and they want to do it, they want to get there their own way. I want to do what I want to do and still make it to heaven. Sorry, it's not how the game's played. There's only one way, and that is to know that Jesus died on the cross for you to save you from eternity separated from God. Period. Simple, 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 simple. It's not hard. But the enemy has made it so difficult for everyone. Right? He throws these little things in. You're saying, well, you don't need to have Jesus. Oh. You know, look, there's other ways to get there. And if anybody is so self-righteous to believe that there's only one way, you don't want to listen to that. It's garbage. Look, freedom. Freedom. You can do whatever you want and still make it to heaven. False prophet. Falsehood. Lie, 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 lie. Not the way to get there. So, Peter's making it very clear here, and I know this is tough for a lot of people to get. I mean, this is so easy, but so difficult in another way. So hard to understand because why? It doesn't feed the flesh, by gollies. It don't make me happy. And I don't know why it wouldn't, for Pete's sake. Anybody who has eyes to see this, this is the most beautiful gift of all of gifts. And all we have to do is accept it. So destruction, if you don't believe this, if you don't follow this, and if you deny the fact that Jesus is the master, if you say there's other ways and you deny that, you are bringing destruction on yourself. God isn't doing it. God isn't putting the destruction on you. You're doing it to yourself. And it's very clear right there. Verse 2. Many will follow their sensualities, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. Or speaking evil of. That's what malign means. You speak evil of that way. Have you heard that? Lots of different religions are saying, oh, you self-righteous people, who do you think you are? That's not who we think we are. It's just what the Bible says. It's what the truth says. That this thing was breathed by the Spirit of God. It's what it says, and I want to follow it. I don't care. Everybody thinks, I don't care what they think. I know what this word says, and I know that it wasn't written by some man. I know that. You read it and tell me that some man wrote this. Ain't a chance. Not a chance. There's more love breathing out of this Bible and truth that comes out of this thing that man isn't got. And I've listened to a lot of wisdom of men, and trust me, there ain't a guy on planet Earth that could write this thing and really do it. Not a chance. I know. I've tried to do it myself, and I consider myself a pretty good guy. Right? So, and I know that in and of myself, it's not possible. Therefore, we know that God's in it. No other way. Verse 3. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. In other words, you guys, they might be out there talking and telling you how wrong you are, but in the end, the truth will be known. It will come out. God is not a liar, and what he says he will do, and he's done it in the past to prove it, and men still don't see it. And we'll get to that. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, and he's talking about when heaven fell, when Satan rebelled against God, and you can read that back in Genesis in the beginning, when Satan rebelled against God, God didn't put up with that, right? He says, no. Not going to put up with these evil deeds. And he cast Satan, and a third of the angels went with him. And he cast them into outer darkness. And so it says this. It says, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to a pit of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah and the preacher of righteousness with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of ungodly. You guys, look. God is not a liar. When he says this stuff and people go off and do their own thing and this evil just keeps going. I mean, open your eyes and look at where we're headed. Do you think we're going to come out of this mess unscathed? No. God says, look, if you're not on my boat that I have built for you, you will perish. You will certainly die, just like he told Adam and Eve from the very beginning. Right? You do that, and you will die. When your dad tells you, or mom, or whoever, says to you, you put your hand on that fire, and it's going to be hot, and it's going to burn. Was your mom or dad lying to you? Were they very stern to you, telling you the truth? Why? Because it was going to save you. It's going to help you from getting your hand burnt. Jesus is such a God is so loving. He's telling us simply, people, look, I've showed you in the past what I say is going to happen. If you do not listen, then you're going to pay the consequences. Now, is he grabbing your hand and pushing it over there and sticking it on the fire so that he can prove to you that that thing's hot? No, he's just telling you it's hot. And this will hurt you. Seriously. Same thing. But we get this picture of who does God think he is, or who do you Christians think you are? Having all the right answers. No, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. It's just a loving father speaking truth into his children's lives. And so Peter's bringing it back to this place of understanding. that this falsehood that people will say, don't listen to that, because the truth is the truth. And he's given examples of how God's word is right and it's true because it happened. And he's saying, you know, the angels got cast out of heaven for their rebellion. Noah, everybody else on planet Earth died except for Noah and his family because people wouldn't listen. Right? He called Noah a what? What did he say he was? A preacher of righteousness, of righteousness. It is right. This is right. And here's the other thing, guys. Our spirit knows it. Deep down inside, this thing that God has created in us knows truth when we hear it, don't we? But it's the flesh that denies that truth, that says, wait a minute, you know, why can't I do this and still have that? That's where the enemy's whisper starts in. And he'll, like, the falsehood starts to happen. It draws us away from truth. And you hear it everywhere. And with false words, the judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And then I went through that and talked about Noah. See, for if God did not spare the angels, so I went through that. Where did I leave off?
Six.
Here I am. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he's given us another story. Remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? You guys all read that. So, you know, Lot was in there, right? And he's telling us this other story that happened, that evil took over and mankind started doing what was right in their own eyes and not putting God before them and listening to him and following that word. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember the story of Lot's wife? Her heart wasn't in going with God, and so she turned back. It would have been better for her not to leave at all. Because where your heart is where you will be. So Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. Example. God used Sodom and Gomorrah for example for us to read. Have we read the story? Okay, we've read that story. Now let's jump forward, and God in his gracious mercy and love has given us a picture of the future. When was the last time you read Revelation? I get in there every once in a while because I want to know what's coming, what's happening. When I see it, I know what it is. So I read it. And it doesn't make sense to me sometimes when I first read it, but as I watch things unfold, it makes more sense. Right? I mean, the mark of the beast. Come on. 100 years ago, they looked at that and went, how's that supposed to happen? Now we look at it and go, a piece of cake. Right? So, and when you look at the whole world seeing something at once, well, check out CNN. Brothers and sisters, we can see what's going on in the world today, and everybody can see it at the same time. No problem. Right? Now, back 100 years ago, they would not be able to see that because they didn't have such a thing. And we're looking and we're moving into the future, watching these things unfold as God said so. And we see it, and then we understand it as we see it. So those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. I don't know about you guys, but when I look at our world today, let me tell you, it's not a fun thing to look at. And listen, two things will happen when you see the world as it is. It will either entice you or it will disgust you. Now, listen to what I'm telling you. Either the world stuff is going to entice you into it, and there's many, many things out there that might pull you into it, or it's going to disgust you. Which does it do to you? It's very disgusting. And listen, we're living in days that it's amazing, the technology that people have at their fingertips. Right? And you can jump right into Sodom and Gomorrah by a push of a button. Just like that. You're in. I was looking at some words this morning as I was in the Word and I was praying, and I was looking up some words on the computer for understanding, and I'll get there in a minute. And something popped up on the computer that I was thinking, you know, where did that come from? And I'll get to that in a minute. But I can tell you this, the enemy knows, he knows, right, what will suck you right in. And I was going, what? Where did that come from? Right, and I knew instantly, you, right? I'm preparing for a message for a congregation, and the enemy wants to take that anointing away just like that. And all it could have been was an enticement to say, well, I'm going to look at that for a minute. Right? Not a chance. You might think I'm stupid, but I'm not dumb. But that's what the enemy does. You know, he's a sneaky critter. Meaner than mean, and he wants to entice you. And wherever you can be enticed, he'll do that. And all you have to do is bite the bait. Gotcha. Fish on. And he'll drag you around, suck you right up into the boat. As long as he's got you, he's got you. Right? So if he rescued righteous Lot, see, I went to that, lawless deeds, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. I mean, I bring it back to God. You know why? Because if you are a man and woman after God, and those things come your way, and you know the truth, right? And you say, God, He is able to rescue you from any temptation that will come your way. Anyone. Anything that comes your way, and you recognize God and say, God, call upon His name, you're instantly rescued. Instantly. Because your heart's right. Right? Instantly rescued. This morning, instantly. Because I knew, right? Holy Spirit's right there. Enemy's right there too, saying, hey, instantly rescue. All right here. Remember we talked about where your mind is? Capturing your thoughts, knowing where your thoughts are. It all starts right here between your ears. Somebody says something, right? You start thinking, oh, that person, how could they do that to me? Pretty quick, you're way over here thinking all kinds of bad thoughts. And that's not at all what's going on. Enemy, just take your thoughts and ruin it. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Right? There is two different ways, two different views right here that he's looking at. The righteous, the ungodly. The righteous, the ungodly. So one, he saves instantly. The other one, he holds them for the day of punishment. Now, those that think that you're not going to get punished for sin, come on. You better be underneath God, Jesus and what he's in his power in your life, or you will be punished for sin. You can't have both ways. You can't have both things. You can't live in sin and suck up the world and all the things that are fleshly enticing and not have judgment of God. It just can't. Right? That, therefore, there's something that we need to know. We need to know that this walk that we're walking before Christ is one that we love to walk because we want to please God. And anything outside that should grieve us and pull us back in line. Because we fall short, right? We need a Savior. That's what Jesus came to die for. So, you know, it's like, well, why did Jesus have to die if you want to live like you want and then go ahead and make it to heaven? Why would God send His Son to die for you, right, if there wasn't something that He does for you? Right, He sends you the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be His witness, to walk that walk. To be that person that God's called you to be. And it's a walk. It's our walk with Him every day. When all these things, these trials come against you, remember we talked about the trials? Do you blame God for the trials? Or do you see what He's trying to teach you in the midst of the trial and bless God for it? Right? The only way you can do that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, look at you guys that have gone through, Dave, what you've gone through. I look around the room at the things, you know, what you just went through with your arm. Right there where you guys are, Mary and Gwen, with your shoulder and stuff. You know, and on and on and on. You guys with your fence. You know, I can just see, you know, the testings that is going on. Glenn and Mike, your thing. Come on. You guys think you're not being tested here? God, why would you allow these things to happen to me? Right? That sometimes is the question. You know, what did I do to deserve this? Now, go back and look at the Word. Go through the whole Word and find somebody in there that didn't go through things that are just as bad that you went through, or worse. A whole lot worse. I mean, I haven't been stoned lately. Take that a couple ways with this. You know, I haven't had rocks thrown at me lately. You know, I haven't had situations where my body's been just pummeled or boiled in oil or hung from my heels. Or, you know, all whatever those guys all went to. I haven't been in a shipwreck. I've been stuck in an airport. It's almost as bad.
It's today's
version. Yeah, today's version of a shipwreck is stuck in an airport. So there's a whole lot of things that I haven't gone through. And the little things that I do go through, I should bless God for. Thanks, God, for this trial, because when I get through this, I'm going to make me stronger. When I get through this, I'm going to be stronger. Thank you, God, for trusting me enough to put me through this. Is that how you look at it? Come on, is that how you look at it? You can't even see that if you're living in that me world. Not even able to even take a glimpse of that when you're living in the me world. It's all about moi. Look, God, you're supposed to take care of me here. I just lost my house. How did you make that happen? Now God's saying, sorry, you made that happen. Or maybe situations made it happen. Either way, what difference does that make in the big scheme of things? Come on. God's going to take care of you. He says, look at the birds of the air. Look at the birds in the ceiling that are tweeting up there. Do you think God knew they were up there? You know when that first bird that Joe talked about, the first bird that I rescued from the ceiling? It was funny. See, I opened it up and, I mean, whoa, you know. He comes out and he jumps up there and he flies right out of there, man. He says, I'm glad I'm out. Thank you for letting me out. Then I'm trying to catch him. Come here, bird, I want to save you. And he's flying around. Pretty quick he gets up on the fan there and I reach up there and pretty quick he's just going... And I just grab him with my hand. I hold him, take him out, and let him go, and he flies off. You know, I don't know what he was thinking. I'm just about done. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, this monster didn't eat me. And the other one, you know, he seen what happened to the first one. The first one kind of disappeared, and he was going, I'm not flying out that hole. Not a chance. That monster took my friend and he's gone and I don't know what's going to happen now. So he's up there doing his thing. So I just join on slaving me. Right? Let him go. Let him be. And you know what? I think about that. God leaves us be sometimes until we're ready to come out. Right? And when he came out, he was real cautious. He came up there and he looked around. Ran back there. And he goes right out there into this fake tree that he thought was real. And he's up there, and I walk right up to him, right? And he's tired because he's going up there and toss. And I grab him, and I kick him in the head. Saved him, just as Christ saves us. Simply. Just got to trust him, even when it looks bad. Trust him, and he will bring you through whatever circumstance you're in. However bad it looks, I mean, you might be hot and tired and wore out and miserable, thinking your life is about to be an end. You're about coming to your end of your rope here, and God will rescue you. And he says very clearly, remember, back up. He knows how to rescue the righteous from all things, from temptation, from harm. Right? Remember when Paul was shipwrecked? What he said to the people that were on that boat? He says, guys, you know what? If you just listen to me, the Lord spoke to you. If you just do what I tell you, not one man will be spared. I mean, will die. You'll all be spared. And every one of them were. Why? Because he listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit telling you when you listen to, when you look at these things in the passage of Scripture that we read, when he says, this world will pass away by fervent heat. Right? You think he's kidding? No, it's all going to burn. I believe that with all my heart. You know why? Because God's not a liar. He's proven himself over and over and over again in my life and yours. And you know it. You know he's not lying. You know he's going to do that. So what boat are you on? Have you climbed on the boat? The ship that's going to save you? The only ship that's going to save you is Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross for you, and you walking that walk and saying, I trust and believe in you, no matter what's going on. No matter what. And I'm not going to listen to anything else. Because it will come your way and you'll be tested. And your flesh will be tested. Especially to those who indulge in the flesh and in its corrupt desires and despise authority. So, when the leaders that God's put before you are sharing these things, messages, and that's what Peter's saying here, guys, look, I'm telling you something, and God's breathed this into me to share this with you. Right? Who are you going to trust? And if your authority, if your spiritual authority is telling you this is going to happen, you ought to pay attention. Now, I've watched people make all kinds of choices in their life, and I've made a few myself that was not very good for me. And I've had my spiritual authority, I've been very obedient to my spiritual authority. Even when I didn't want to be. You know, even when they told me to do something I didn't want to do, I did it. When my flesh was saying, why do you have to go through this? But my spirit was saying, I need to be obedient to what I'm told, even when it doesn't feel good. Did it anyway. And I know it wasn't easy, but it was good. It was good for me to do what I was told, knowing it was the right thing. How about you? When your spiritual authority tells you something and gives you insight on what they believe God's speaking, you go test that to be sure it's true and then listen to them? Do you think God just gives words out there just because? I believe a word from the Lord, from people that God breathes into, is very important to listen to. And we need to test and make sure they're from God. But I believe God uses people and words from God. And I believe we need to... In fact, Gwen gave me a tape to listen to this morning. She said, I believe this is a word from the Lord for the church. I'm going to listen to it. I haven't listened to it yet, but I will. I'll listen to it. And if it's a word from the Lord, and if it speaks to my spirit, you guys are going to hear it. You'll hear it. And so if everything goes well, Wednesday we're going to hear this thing. Right? If it's a spoken word from God, the people need to hear it. So we need to be diligent to listen to our spiritual authority. And Peter's saying that. And not just our spiritual authority, but the authorities that are put before us. Even if we don't like it. Because God's the one that puts people in authority. And it's true. Whether you think so or not. The Bible says it. So, daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they reveal angelic majesties. Revel or revile. That word right there means abusive language. So, whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring reviling judgment or revealing judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be corrupted and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. So there are people that we aren't going to be able to talk to. And they're all they want to do is do their own thing, and they're very destructive. And I've seen them. And their behavior is unbelievable. How about you? You guys seen people like that? And if you can't talk to them, there's nothing you can do, and they're going to be destroyed for their deal, for what they're doing. Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong, they count it a pleasure to revile in the daytime, or revel in the daytime, and are stains and blemishes reviling in their deception as they carouse with you. And so if you join them, you will carouse with them and do the evil things. Now, I looked at the revile is using abusive language, use of abusive language. Is there any abusive language going on around us? Huh? No, God didn't damn anything. The beavers did. You know, that. But you hear it all the time, people coming out of their mouths about how, you know, this and that, using God's name in vain. Right, and Jesus Christ's name in vain, and this abusive language toward parents and toward one another, and talking about people to other people and things they have no idea about, but they create their own little view of what's happening, and so they talk to the neighbors about the other person, about how bad they are or what they did, and they got no idea what's going on. But they think they do. So they blabber their mouth to their neighbors, and pretty quick the gossip starts. And the word is out that this person is evil and bad, or he's done something bad, and everybody looks down upon that person, and it all started, and they have no idea what really happened, but just what they thought happened. And all I can say is, until you get the whole truth and nothing but the truth, better keep your mouth shut. Because you're going to be judged for that. Right? You go spreading gossip around about what you think happened or what somebody else is doing, and then you start blabbing that stuff to your neighbor, pretty quick everybody in town thinks something happened, and they got no idea what's behind it at all. I suggest if you hear something, you ought to either pray about it, or you ought to go to the person and find out yourself what's really going on. But if you start gossiping, man, I'll tell you, but that's our first thought, isn't it? Well, let's go talk about that. God's saying that's not right. You know, and so, but it happens all the time. I hear it all the time. You know, as the pastor of the church, somebody wants to say something about somebody else in the congregation. Well, I don't want to hear that stuff. Until we really know what's going on, I don't hear it. Or you should go take care of this. You know, you're the pastor. Oh, wait a minute. Take care of what? I haven't heard a thing about it. Until that person comes to me, it's not my business to go meddling in their business. You know, lead a quiet life. Don't create more problems than is already going on. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. Now this is an interesting story. Has anybody read the story of Balaam? Remember the donkey? Balaam and the donkey? He's going up to the king, right? He's actually a prophet. And he's called to come up and curse these other guys. You should go back and read that story. It's fascinating. And the donkey says, what are you doing? Why are you beating me? I'm trying to help you. There's a big angel right there with a sword, and he's going to whack you. A fascinating story. You know, I believe it really happened. I really do. I mean, the word says it. And Balaam's beating this donkey to try to get him to go up that path. And there's this. The donkey sees the angel with the sword. He's going, no way, I'm not doing it. We're going to get hacked up by a sword. We're supposed to stop. Right? And so finally, God gives the donkey the ability to talk. To tell them, moron sitting on his back, you're not listening. Isn't that wonderful that God gives us opportunity, even in a donkey, to tell us that you're going the wrong way? Stop! Stop! You're going to get hurt. I thought that was a funny story because, and Peter's saying, look, he brings us back to that whole story saying, look, how many of you guys need some critter to tell you to stop it? I mean, you're not smart enough to listen to God when God speaks and he's telling you, stop, you guys. If you don't stop this, there's going to be some bad things happen to you. And the grace of God is so good that he gives us words and understanding from his people, from creation. All kind of different ways that he speaks to us. Okay, where did I leave off? 16. But he received a rebuke for his own transgression for a mute donkey speaking with the voice of a man restrained the madness of the prophet. I hope God stops me from doing something stupid. You know, even if it takes a donkey, Lord, go ahead. That's my prayer, honestly. I do. I'd rather have whatever it takes for me to get it right. I would rather have that than eternal separation from my God. How about you? Seriously? There are springs without water and mist driven by the storm for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this is that he is enslaved. So let me read this again. Now listen. A lot of people think that Christians are in bondage. They do. I've had them tell me, you're the one that's in bondage. You can't do whatever you want. Right? So if this God that you're following won't let you do what you want, that's bondage. You're enslaved by a God who wants you to do what he wants. All I know is, thank you, Jesus. Right? I'm happy to be enslaved by my God, my King. I am his slave and I will do what I'm told. Right? But in reality, when you look at what you think is freedom, I mean, take a look. People who are doing whatever they want, they got their life and they're just having fun. They don't have to go through the things that we go through, do they? Sometimes we go, well, God, why is it that they get all this stuff and I don't? Why is it that their life is so good? They don't have any kind of testings going on in their life. They just live life. Why, God? Why? Because in the end, they get eternal damnation, and in the end for you, you get eternal life. Which would you rather have now? A little suffering and eternal life and peace with God, or no consequences, do whatever you want, have fun, party till you puke, and then die and be separated eternally from God? I don't know. For me, it's a no-brainer. How about you? I want to be tested now. God, throw me the test, show me the way, let me follow, let me be strong. If it takes whatever it takes for me to see this, give it to me, God. And really, that's my prayer. And I know that must be some of your guys' prayers because you're going through a little bit of hell right now. Right? There's some situations in your life that are a little difficult and kind of hard. You know why? Because you're probably doing the right thing. Right? Sometimes the path that seems the hardest is the best path to go down. God's saying, walk this way. Right? Take up your cross daily and follow me. And if you do it with God, you can do it. And you can do it with joy and peace, knowing that he's given you something that a lot of people don't have. And that in the end, you got it. You got the winning ticket. You're there. And that's a cool thing to know. So I'm going to buzz through the last part of this because we're already running over. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled in them and are overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. So basically what it's saying is if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and you've walked the walk, you know who He is, and you turn aside from the things that God has told you and go back into the world and do the things you did before, He said you're better off not knowing the first, because the consequences are worse for you. And it's harder to get back on track if you've known Christ and you've left Him. Look at the prodigal son and what he did. And God will bring you right down to, mire in the pig wallow. Right? He doesn't want you to do that. And so He's warning you, don't do that. You need to hang on to Him and stay with it. Don't give up. Don't quit coming to church, right? Because it's easier to stay home, right? Keep coming. Keep getting fed. Keep getting encouraged. Keep hanging out with those that are doing the stuff, because that's what's going to keep you on track. If you're out there on your own, folks, listen to me. If you're out there on your own thinking you're going to walk this walk on your own and be the Lone Ranger, you got another thing coming. You're going to be duped. You're going to get suckered. And you're going to find yourself down the road wishing you hadn't done that. Right? Stay with it. Stay with the people that love God. Stay, be encouraged. Be challenged. Continue to be challenged. Continue to walk the walk. Because if you get out there on your own thinking, oh, it's not that, would that, that's just too much. I can't even believe that. Guys want us to come Sunday and Wednesday. Haven't got time for that. No, that's good for you. You need to challenge yourself and come. So, because it says, it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. So it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. So God has given us, Peter's given us this vivid picture, right? And it's very vivid. If you read it, it's pretty, if you have eyes to see it, you can see it. If you don't, you're blind to it. Okay? But it's very, 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 very clear to me that this is an open understanding of us as believers to stay on this path of righteousness, because if you're not on this path, when the flood comes, right, you're going to be on the outside of that boat. When Jesus returns for you and me, are you on the right side of the fence? Right? And if you know that, you know that. If you don't know that right now, as I speak these words, if you don't know that for sure, you need to know that for sure. You need to know that. And it's not because of what you're doing or what you've done. It simply is what you're going to do from this point on. Right? What decision are you going to make to know that Jesus is your Savior and you're walking down that path? Right? No matter what's going on in your life. And there's many things going on in our lives, isn't it? I mean, I just mentioned a few as I looked around the room, and some things I don't know, but and some things I won't say that I do know. But listen, God sees everything. He sees it all. He sees right where you are. And He's calling you right now to Himself, saying, come, walk this way. Walk in this way. Follow me. Follow this path. And He said, it's a still small voice, and you know it. You're hearing it. Walk this way. Righteousness and truth, love, joy, peace, and the Holy Spirit, no matter what circumstance you're in, you can trust and know God's will. Amen? So here's the word I'm going to leave with you. This week is going to be a really good week for you guys. I mean, I trust and believe that this week is going to be a week that God's going to show you, specifically in your life, in this difficult situations that you're in. Because I know there's many. I just know that. Why? Because I'm a pastor. No. It's because I know that where what God gives a message and he's showing us something, it's for his people. Right? And this message is, yes, you're in a difficult situation, but God's got you. Right? Trust in him with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make the path straight. So, whatever pain, whatever suffering, whatever situation you may be in right now, what does the Bible say to you? Acknowledge that. Bring into it. Cry out to him and say, Lord, heal me, deliver me. Keep me on the path of righteousness. And I will trust in you all the days of my life. I remember the song that David sang and he wrote on paper? Even though I walk through valley of shadow of death, I fear no ever, fear no evil. For God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff comforts me. Really? What will your rod and staff do? Right? It beats and pulls. So get back in line, sheep. But that's comforting to us when we know that our king, our shepherd, is pulling us on the right path. And he might even smack us with that rod. Come on. And I've been smacked. Have you? You know what that smack feels like? It's a loving one. Sometimes, ouch. Okay, God, sorry. And he makes me lie down in green pasture and restores my soul. What's your soul? Mind, will, and emotion. So guess what? Our mind, will, and emotions needs to be restored. Which means it's not going to just happen. It's a process. So your mind, your will, your emotions, your soul is being restored in the path of righteousness. And so that takes a little bit of pain and suffering sometimes. Sometimes we have to get spanked. How many of you guys get spanked? Right? Because if you're getting a spanking, then you know you're on the right path. Why? Because God says, I discipline those that I love. And so he loves you. He loves you enough to give you a spanking. It's like your kids. If you didn't love them, you wouldn't discipline them. So God's disciplining you. Are you listening and are you behaving? Now there's two ways to go. You're going to rebel against it. You're going to rebel and you're going to go, enough of that. I'm doing my own thing. I remember. I know I shouldn't go there. But I know some of you guys need to hear this. Right? I remember thinking that there's the enemy, right? And he's got this plan for my life and he's tugging on me here. And God is over here speaking and calling me and tugging me in his direction. And I'm getting pulled and I'm feeling all this pressure on my life. And I finally just scream out and I say, you guys, stop it. Stop it. Leave me alone, both of you. I didn't ask for this. I don't want no part of this struggle that's going on. Has anybody been there? Mm-hmm. Look. Leave me alone. I just want to be left alone. You know what I found out? If God would leave me alone, then I would go down the wrong path. There's a bad thing to say. You should say, thank you, God. Continue that pressure to draw me to yourself. Whatever it takes. Right? Amen? And some of you guys might be right there saying, hey, I had enough. I want out. I'm leaving. I'm not staying in this. Why should I do this? A loving God didn't put me through this. Oh, yes, he would. Because why? Because he loves you. Now it's our choice, because he gave us a choice, to follow and stick with it. Because we're growing and we're learning. Amen? Let's pray and I'll let you guys go. Father, thank you for this message. And I know that it was appropriate for today. And many ears have heard it. Father, I pray for those that are struggling in this area of challenges and God, in this place where you're going, man, why do I go to church? Why do I go do this stuff when it doesn't seem to work? God, we know that it's working. Lord, deep down we know, God, that if we stay on this path of righteousness, nobody said it was going to be easy. But Lord, we know it's going to be good because in the midst of these trials, we get stronger. And so Lord, bring strength to us in the midst of our trials, our pain and our suffering. God, we know that that you went through it even more so than we did. And God, you said, if we follow you, we will have suffering. And so, Lord, we're following you, and we're thankful for it. As Paul said earlier when we read, God, thank you for all these trials and tribulations, because it does bring, it brings me to a better place, and it makes me stronger. So if that's what it takes, Lord, we're all in. We just say yes and amen to everything that you have for us, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, because, God, we know that you're King and you're God of all. And, Lord God, one day we will have, this will all be gone. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to that day. This world is not our home. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to the time where we can all be safe in your arms and not have these challenges and tests. But, Lord, until then, we're going to say, God, have your way in us. And so go with us this week and the challenges that we have. And, Lord, I pray for the peace that passes understanding. God, as we enter into your presence and your Holy Spirit comes about us, God, just guide us and protect us. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.